Yud Hes Amud Aleph. Sorry?
Well, we need the other one.
What other one? Oh, the other one with the picture? I mean, there's one point that it might be helpful for, but I don't think it's ma'akif. We are 10 lines down the page. Remember Bishur ben Levi on Yud Hes Amud Aleph, Mintin A. Continuing the discussion of defining hagrama, and that's what's going to take up most of today, is this definition of hagrama. So Bishur ben Levi says, Mugremes derabbanan ksheira l'Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda ksheira l'Bechanina ben Antignos. He says, there's really a hierarchy of views here in terms of hagrama. What one considers hagrama, the other one is going to consider fine, because the Rabbanan took the view that you have to be entirely below the ring, and whether the ring was the top ring or not the top ring was a machlokas Rashi Tosfos, but entirely below the ring. Below meaning quaddily, meaning away from the head. The view of Rabbi Yosi of Yehuda is that the majority has to be below the ring. And then the view, and so whatever the Rabbanan, not whatever, but some things the Rabbanan called Mugremes are going to be fine according to Rabbi Yosi of Yehuda. And then on the other hand, you have Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos says you just have to be below the thyroid cartilage, which is closer to the head. It's more sepha something. The cephalus, sepha something. Sepha cephalic, that's the way to pronounce it. Thank you. His view is what you called Mugremes is actually fine. So now we have the radiologist. Okay, now he's back. So what he says is what the Rabbanan called Mugremes, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda will say is fine because it stays majority below the cartilage ring. And what Rabbi Yosef Yehuda calls Mugremes because it's above that cricoid cartilage ring, he says Rabbi Chaim ben Antignos will say it's fine because it's below the thyroid cartilage. So it all depends on whose view you take. So the Gemara says Pshita. Well, that was obvious, wasn't it? we thought so. So it's obvious. What do you need to tell me that? No, Mahu Disema, Rabbi Chaim ben Antignos ad Rabbanan Kai, Ka Mashmatlan. The answer is, I wasn't sure whom Rabbi Chaim ben Antignos was commenting on. Meaning, Rabbi Chaim ben Antignos began on the fourth line on Yud Ches Amud Beis. He said, Mugremes is Kshera. But I might have thought that what he meant was, Mugremes of the Rabbanan is Kshera. But he might agree with Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda that it has to be majority below the cricoid cartilage. The fact that he's actually more lenient than Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is not evident from his actual words. Ve'ema hachinami. Well, in that case, maybe that's really what he means. Maybe in hachinami. Maybe Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos agrees with the Rabbanan. No, because in Cain, if so, heyid alei mibayalei. Then it should have said instead of heyid of Chanina ben Antignos, it should have said, since it's a response to Rabbi Yosi of Yehuda, it should have said he testified regarding him. Remember that the original statement of Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos was brought into Brisa right after Rabbi Yosi of Rabbi Yehuda's comment. So if what he really meant to do was to debate Rabbi Yosi of Rabbi Yehuda specifically, it should have said so. The fact that it didn't say so indicates he debates with everybody. He's actually the far lenient view. That's the idea. The Hilchasak, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, the Chayr of Nachman Kavasei, and the law follows Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos because Rav Nachman agreed with him. The Maharsha was very bothered by this line because the Maharsha said we introduce Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos with the word Heid. And whenever you see the word heid, that's the halacha. Azay shtei. Yeah. That's what the halacha is. Rashi actually says that. On Yud Ches Amud Beis, when we introduce Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, he says that v'hachi hilchasa v'chol eidus hilchasehi. He says that's the law because whenever you say heid, that's the law. Or eidus is the law, I should say. The Rashash wasn't so convinced. The Rashash said, number one, I'm not so sure that Heid is always the law. It's true that Edios is the law. But it doesn't mean that every time someone says something as Edos, that automatically means that it's the law. That's number one. Number two, though, he says, maybe it's still necessary because I wasn't sure what Rav Chanina ben Antignos meant. Was he arguing with Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda? Was he arguing with the Rabbanan? So what I need Rav Nachman to tell me is that the halacha is like him and that he's arguing with everybody. That he's the most lenient view. Okay.
That statement that said right before, hey, is Megremis Psula, actually says Milsa Bapinashio, it's Rabbanon.
Yes, Megremis Psula is not really Metignos. It's only the next line that is. Correct. No, it's everybody. It's everybody. In other words, what he's trying to tell you is.
But this statement, Megremis Psula, is a separate
correct.
Statement.
Correct. Let me get the explanation in. The statement of Gremis Psula is, as you're saying, a general overarching statement, because what he's saying is not just we say this is Hagrama, however we define Hagrama, Rabbanan defining it their way, Rabbi Yosef defining it his way, whatever. Not just that it's not a good thing to do, but it's actually going to pass all the Shechita. That's what they're adding in with the words Megremis Psula.
Saying, when the Gemara says Hey Allah means on that word Megremis Psula, he's just referring to that, which is Rabbanan.
Rashi
says that before.
I don't think that that's.
That's why he should have said Allah, right on what was just said.
No, because if that's so, then it would be on Rabbi Yosef or Yehuda. It's back to Rabbi Yosef or Yehuda.
No, but that's what I'm saying in the fourth wide line on Amit Beis. The Milsa Bapinashu, the Stami Hebrew, Rabbanan Karmala.
Yeah, no, in a Hanami. But he's saying, but that's not the LA. That's not the LA. If he was, when he's trying to.
Can we read Rashi?
Yes.
Right.
Azoi, go ahead.
Hey, Allah, read it.
No, read the Rashi here, not the Rashi there.
I'm saying here, in Kain Hayda Lami Barley, Mashman is Astama del Ilmineka. It's going on the Tani, it says what it says.
Right, no, because he didn't say Aleh. No, because he didn't say Aleh. Had he said Aleha, I would, or Aleh, as it's accurately read, had he said Aleh, then I would have assumed he's just disagreeing with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. That's the idea. Because he didn't say Aleh, therefore he's referring to everybody in general. Because he did not say Aleh. Had he said Aleh, that would have been Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. It's not on the Megremis Psula line. The Megremis Psula line is a bracketed comment that isn't germane to this point.
Right.
Got it. Okay. So now the Gemara continues within the view of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. The question that we have is, we've been assuming you're talking about where somebody started with Shechita and then veered out of Shechita. What if it was the opposite? What if you started outside the zone and then you moved into the zone? What's going to happen now? And here I'm going to introduce a point which is very important. I footnoted it later in the discussion, but the truth is it's already relevant here from the Rosh, which is veering out of the Makom Shechita is not like the other Psulim that we talk about. Right? When we talk about Igor, well, not Igor is not a good example. When you talk about Drasa, okay, pressing into the neck, that's actually a destructive act. Right? In other words, you're doing something to the simanim, which is a damaging act to your shechita. As opposed to veering out, when you cut outside of the zone, that's simply not a shechita act. It isn't necessarily a negative. It's simply not shechita. So that one way to look at this, and it's going to be relevant in the discussion coming up, one way to look at this is that if a person does hagrama, all I really care about is, did he do a proper shechita act when he was within the zone? And if so, dal mehacha, just remove the hagrama component, and say, yes, but there was a kasher shechita act. You know what it's like? A person's laning. Okay? And he was supposed to say, vayomer. And he misread it, and he said, I'm making this up, obviously, this is never going to happen. But a person says, vayomer sam. Okay? Vayomer sam, he read, instead of saying vayomer. So can I say, dal mehacha, remove that last syllable that he added, and he said vayomer. The last syllable is just a hefsek that he threw in. He said something that wasn't relevant. As opposed to someone saying vayomer and reading it vatomer, where you've actually changed the word, you read vayomer and then you added a syllable that just wasn't there. And maybe I could argue, so okay, ignore that last syllable and what he said was the actual correct word. Similarly here, a person does a shechita, if he does a proper shechita within the zone, and then he veers out of the zone after he's done the minimal act, then it's going to be a shechita kshera. So keep that in mind from the Rosh, because it's going to affect the way we proceed going forward.
Does anybody disagree with that?
Wait and see. It'll be on the Gemara's level, the disagreement. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Asi. Rav Huna says, citing Rav Asi, Machlokes b'sheshacha, maybe a better example of Vayomer and Vayomer Sam would be if you have someone who adds a word in the laning. Right, someone sometimes, just because of the flow of the words or the way they appear elsewhere in that same parsha, will add in an S, because there's an S elsewhere. Right, so a person says, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe es lemor. So if he says that, is the S anything? The answer is no. because it's just a hefsik word. Okay, fine, he wasn't supposed to be mafsik, but now his leaning is still kosher. So Amr of Huna, Amr of Asi. I'm sorry, I jumped. No, I didn't. No, that's where we are. That's where we are. Okay, machlokes b'sheshachad shnei shlish v'higrim shlish. The machlokes between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan is where you did two-thirds. Two-thirds is just a number. It means majority. You did majority kasher shchita, and then you veered out of the zone for the last bit. The Rabbanan savri kula shchita ba'inan betabaz gedola. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda savarubo kikulo. The Rabbanan say that you require all of the act of shchita within the proper space, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says no. He says rubo kikulo. You did the majority of the shchita in the proper place. Everything that happens afterwards is irrelevant. It doesn't make a difference. It wasn't an act of shchita. It was just some separate cut in the meat of the animal. But you did a kasher shchita. Tosus notes this is Rav Asi instead of Rabbi Asi. People often confuse them. They don't, bless you, because they're an entirely different door, and you couldn't have had Rav Huna quoting Rabbi Asi. Aval higrim shlish v'shachat shnei shlish. But if he did the hagrama first and then he veered into the zone and he cut two thirds properly, divrei kol psula. Everybody will say pasul. Why? Dechinafka chevesa ba'inon ruba b'shchita v'leka. Because we require that at the moment that the animal dies, which we take to be the moment when you've cut the majority of the way through the trachea and the esophagus. That's our assumption. That the moment that you reach the two thirds point. At a moment, at each majority point, I should say, you have to have done a shechita act with a majority, and you didn't, because here, most of the cut was, at that stage, was outside of the zone. So even though in the end, when you finish cutting, the majority of your physical cut will be in the proper zone, at the stage when the neshama leaves, you don't have majority of the cut in the proper zone. That's his statement. So that's Rav Huna's approach. And this is all version one, because we're going to have two versions of this. But we'll go with version one for now. We get confused later. Amalei Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says, Adarabba.
Bird has a neshama?
Why not? First of all, neshama here just means life, but why not?
No.
Why not? The Gemara at the end of Brachas talks about Yitzhahara for animals, right? Who says it doesn't have a neshama? Especially if you're a Gilgalite. Right, if you accept Gilgul, the Yirdu, but the Gaz Hayamu, the Of Hashamayim, they say it means for real. They have not the Yirdu, but the Yirdu. So you don't know who that bird was. The Amar Le Rav Chisda. I always said he was a strange man. Amar Le Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda says, Adiraba, just the opposite. He says, Lemamar Ipcha, you could just as easily make the opposite contention. Machlokes kishehigrim shlish v'shachad shnei shlish. The machlokes will be. The Machlokes team, the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, will actually be where the Hagroma came first. That's exactly where they have their debate. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Savar Midi Dehava Achatzi Kanapagum. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda invokes the case of Chatzi Kanapagum, which I put on your sheets as the pre-flawed trachea. The idea is this: you have an animal, and the animal's trachea is already partially severed before you come in to do the shechita. So that when you come in to do the shechita, you're cutting a different part of it, and you meet up with that flaw. So you get halfway through, and now the trachea is already severed. So in such a case, we say kosher. We say that's a kosher shechita. So the animal is not considered a trefa by having katzi kanapagum. That's correct. And your shechita is a kosher shechita, even though you only did half an act. So he says, look at that. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda will say that's kosher. Because after all, in the case, I mean, it's kosher here, where you did your first half outside of the zone, and then you went and did the other part in the zone, we're okay with that, because it's just like that first half that you cut was an existing flaw in the neck of the animal. Right? That's all it is. It wasn't an act of shechita, but the animal had a flawed neck, and then you cut the rest. The Rabbanan, whereas the Rabbanan will say, no, hasa makom shechita, hachalav makom shechita. That's a different story. The Chatzi Kanapagum case, the reason why it was okay was because the existing pegam, that Chatzi Kanapagum, was not in was in the place of shechita, as opposed to here, where the other part of this flaw is outside the zone. So maybe it doesn't contribute, it's just a flaw in the neck of the animal. the Aval Shachat Shnei Shlish, V'Higrim Shlish. But if you did, the first part was the Kasher part, and then afterwards was the Agrala part, Divrei HaKoch Shera, everybody will agree, because I have a principle, Datnan, we learned it in Mishnah, Rubo Shel Echad Kamohu, cutting through the majority is like cutting through the whole thing. In other words, forget everything we just discussed. If you go to, that's not hard, if you go to do a Shechita, and you cut into the and you cut into the neck, and you cut the majority of the trachea, and the majority of the esophagus, that's a kasher shechita. So everybody will agree that that's okay. So the way he wants to frame it in this version is, Rav Huna and Rav Asi understand that the that everybody is going to agree that it's only kasher if the proper cut, the cut in the right place, came first. Okay, it has to be that you did a shechita first, and then the hagrama. I'm sorry, not everybody. This is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who accepts hagrama at all. The Rabbanan didn't like hagrama, so let me restate that. Within the view of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, it's only kasher if the lower cut came first, the cut in the zone came first. And Rav Chista comes along and says, why? Why should that be so? Maybe Rabbi Yossi of Yehuda will even accept where the Hagrama came first. And it's only the Chachamim who say that the Shechita has to come first. Maybe that's the idea. And then Rav Chisda can support this position based on Rubo Shel Echad Kamohu, showing that even the Chachamim will agree that majority is like the whole. So even the Chachamim will agree that where I did a proper cut first and then the last bit was Hagrama, it's going to be kosher. Yeah. Without the majority being the proper cut. Correct. I mean, what this is really about is, are the Chachamim going to agree that Rubo Shel Echad Kamohu, that majority works? If the Chachamim believe that majority works, then it makes sense to say the Chachamim will believe that if you did the majority in the proper space and then you veered out, it's a kasher shechita. And the only debate is going to be, what if your veering came first? That's what he wants to argue. To which Amar le Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef says to Chisda, Man name alon de hahu ruba de hasam la Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda katani la. You're assuming the Chachamim believe you then this idea that the majority is like cutting the entire thing. I believe that may be Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda speaking. De Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda katani la. Maybe that line was actually Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda. Amar le Abaye, to which Abaye says, Atu kol ruba de alma Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda katani lahu. He says, wait a minute, the idea of rubo kikulo is not unique to Shechita. That's all over Shas, that the majority is like the whole thing. Are you going to tell me that those are all Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's view? To which he responds, no, Shechita may be a thing to itself, sui generis. Amar le, ana, ruba de Shechita ka'amina, de shamana lehu de pligi. He says, I'm just talking about majority by Shechita, because I know there's a machlokas here. And I would contend that that's part of the machlokas, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and the Rabbanan. So again, within this version of it, it's fundamentally this debate. Do the Chachamim accept the idea that rubo kikulo, that cutting the majority is like cutting the whole thing? If so, they'll say, just discount the Hagrama, and it's fine if you did Shechita first and then Hagrama. Where will they disagree with Rabbi Yosef Yehuda about Hagrama? Where the Hagrama came first. That's what Rav Chisda wanted to put forth against Rav Huna Rav Asi, who disagree and say that the debate is going to be on the entire thing because of whether I use Chatzi Kanapogum as my model or not. Do I say, Meyer, that it matters what the majority was at the time when the Neshama left? Okay. Lishna Achrina Amrila. Some presented this a little bit differently. The views will be familiar. The names are going to change. What we're going to do now is make Rav Huna and Rav Asi say what Rav Chisda said before. Amar Rav Huna and Rav Asi said, Machlokas Shehigrim Shlish V'Shachat Shnei Shlish. The Machlokas is where the Hagrama came first. Rabbi Yosi bar Rav Yehuda Savar Midi Dehava Chatzi Kanapagum. Rabbi Yosi Rav Yehuda said that that's like the Chatzi Kanapagum. And therefore it's okay. It's just like you did Shechita and you encountered an existing flaw. It's the same thing where you did the Hagrama first. And the Rabbanan reply, no, that in that case, the Chatzi Kanapagum case, the whole cut is in the proper Shechita location. It's just that there was a pagam before you did your Shechita. Aval Shachat Shnei Shlish V'Higrim Shlish. But if he did the Shechita first and then the Hagrama, Divrei HaKoch Shera, everybody's fine with it. Tatanan, Rubo Shel Echad Kamohu, because everybody agrees that the majority is like the whole thing. So what Rav Chisda wanted to argue now is put in the mouth of Rav Huna and Rav Asi, to which Rav Chisda is now going to present the opposing view. Maskif La Rav Chisda, we're just flipping sides. Rav Chisda they asked, Man le malanda ahu ruba de hasam lav Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda katani la? Who will tell us that the robe that you mentioned there was not Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda supporting that view? Maybe Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says rubo kikulo, and the Rabbana don't. Del Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda katani la. So Amar le Rabbi Yosef, to which Rabbi Yosef then responds the same way we responded before. Adu kol ruba de alma Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda katani la. Does katani la who? Is Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda the only one who supports the idea of rove? Amar lei, to which he replied, "Anar ruba de shchita kamina de shemana lehuda pliki." No, I was only talking about rove by shchita. Maybe that's unique to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, and it's not like other cases of rove. So the upshot is, I have two different ways to present this in terms of the names, but it's fundamentally the same debate. Is how will I view it if hagrama happens before the shchita instead of after the shchita component? But we continue with hagrama questions. Here's some fun. Higrim shlish, v'sharchad shlish, v'higrim shlish. Let's say he starts b'hagrama. He then continues with shchita. So at the moment that it dies via an act of shchita. And then he goes back and does hagrama on the rest. So Rav Huna Amar Rav Ksheva, Rav Huna says, citing Rav, this is kosher. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Treifa. Treitanai Aliba de Rav. Treamarai Aliba de Rav. Rav Yehuda says, that's not what Rav said. Rav said, non-kosher. Again, treifa here we keep using to mean non-kosher. We don't mean literally it's a treifa. So Rav Yehuda says, citing Rav, no good. Rav Huna Amar Rav Kshera, why? Why should it be kosher? Ki nafka chevasa b'shchita kanafka. When the neshama leaves, it leaves b'shchita with an act of shchita. You reach the midpoint with a shchita act. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Treifa, because b'inan ruba b'shchita v'leka. You require not just that at the moment that it dies, it's through a shchita act. You require the majority be a shchita act when the neshama leaves, and that you didn't. Get. That's the idea. Okay. Shachat shlish, vihigrim shlish, v'shachat shlish. Let's reverse it then. You cut first with shchita, then you veered out and did agrama, then you veered back in. This is the drunk shochet. So then what? There he was texting while shachting. V'shachat shlish, so then what? So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Kshera. Rav Yehuda says, citing Rav, kosher. Right? Well, think about it. At the moment that you did, at the moment that neshama left, it was a kosher shchita act. Right? I'm sorry, no, it wasn't. It's the opposite. At the moment that's where the Gemara is going with this. It's the flip side of the previous case. It's the converse. On the one hand, at the moment the neshama left, it was via a hagrama act. On the other hand, the majority was b'shchita at the moment that you crossed the midline. So, asu shailua le Rav Huna. They went and asked Rav Huna what the din is, and Amar lahu treifa. He said treifa, and Rashi explains, misvara de nafshe amra. He said it himself. This wasn't in the name of Rav. Sorry? This wasn't in the name of Rav. It was his own statement that it's a treifa, as opposed to before where he was citing Rav. So Shama Rav Yehuda Ikbid. Rav Yehuda heard that Rav Huna disagreed with him and he got upset. Omar, he said, I don't get it. Tarifna umachshar. I said it was treif before, and he said, oh, that's kosher. Umachsharna, now I say it's kosher, v'tarif. That which I said is kosher, he said is treif. So what I say is treif, he says is kosher. What I say is kosher, he says is treif, right? I know people like this. So Amar Rav Huna, I live in my shul. So Amar Rav Huna, Shabir Kamikbid. Rav Huna answers, yeah, he says, you're right. First of all, my first statement I heard from Rav, this one I didn't, this one I made up on my own. So he's right for being angry at me. And further, you do have the fact that the majority is with shchita when you reach the midpoint. So you know what? Maybe I should recant, Rav Huna says. That's the point. He says, maybe I should back down from my statement. To which Amalei Rav Chisda said, don't you dare. Lo tahadarbach, you stick to your guns. Why? I wrote on my sheet Rav Yehuda justifies Rav Huna. That was wrong. It's Rav Chisda who justifies Rav Huna. I'm sorry? When you reach the midpoint, the majority is done with shchita. Because a third of it was shchita, and then the rest to reach the midpoint was hagrama. Right. You're in accounting. You have to know this.
Three rings, and so he's got a third, and he hasn't cut the third yet.
No, it's a third of the way through was Shechita, and then a little bit to get to the midpoint was Hagrama. That's the idea. So he says, you're right. He says, stick to your guns. Why? The Imkain, Masdas Lalakamaisa. Because you know what's going to happen? If you back down, then people are also going to reject your earlier statement in which you were quoting Rav. And he says, not only that, you're right. Hasa Maitama Kamasharis. He says, over there, why did you accept it in the case where the Hagrama was first and then the Shechita? Dechinavka Chevasa Behachshera Kanavka. Because when the animal died, it was Bekashris. It was an act of Shechita. Hachanami, here too, it's going to be Treif. Because Kinavka Chevasa Behagrama Kanavka. When the life left it, it was through an act of Hagrama. And that's what matters. That's the idea. Ikla Rav Nachman Lesura. So Rav Nachman went to Sura. Bo Mina, and they asked him, Shachat Shlish V'Higrim Shlish V'Shachat Shlish Mahu. What if it was Shchita Hagrama Shchita? So Amar Lehu, he said to them, Lav Hainu Rav Elazar Barman Yumi. Isn't that what Rav Elazar Barman Yumi talked about? Damar Rav Elazar Barman Yumi, Shchita Ha'asir K'masrek K'shera. Shchita done like a comb. Meaning that it has like teeth, Rashi says. So here, he cut, and then he moved down, and then he cut, right? It's like having a, yeah. It's a jagged cut, right? The Kshera. And Rav Elazar ben Yumi says, it's kosher. So here, you did Shechita, then you veered out, and then you veered back in and did more cutting. Kosher. To which he says, not necessarily. The Dilma ben Makom Shechita. Maybe Rav Elazar ben Yumi accepted it where all of your jagged cut was within the Shechita zone. Here, you actually veered out of the Makom Shechita. So which he says, well, if it was in the Makom Shechita, then why do I need Rav Elazar ben Yumi to say kosher? Bimkom Shechita, Maila Memra. If it's in the place of Shechita, then who cares? Why did you need to teach me that? Everybody knows that's kosher. Mao Desema Bo'inan Shechita Meforas Veleka. No, I might have said that it has to be an open cut, meaning if you cut in a jagged way, the hide ends up having a flap, and it's actually hidden. And this is not like Chalada, which is a separate problem of tunneling in, but we require that it be open and exposed. Rashi explains for you, Meforas, like Ufaras Rosh HaYisha, for something to be open and exposed. So the Veleka, and you don't have that here, caught Mashmalan, and that's what Belazar ben Menumi is teaching me, even though it's not exposed, since it's entirely in the site of Shechita, that would be kosher, and therefore your case of Shechita Kemasrek, where you do it like a comb, and you do it outside, you're actually doing Hagrama, would not accept. He would not. Your version of Masrek would not be kosher. Right. If I accept that, that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Yumi was coming to teach. Correct. Okay. So now, again, we're asking all of this within the view of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Rachayev Antignos, whose word is the law, says all of these are fine because they're below the thyroid cartilage. But we're asking within Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who says you have to be below that. The majority below the cricoid cartilage. The question is, how do I understand Hagrama fundamentally, and what are my requirements for the act of Shechita? Number one, when you do Hagrama, is that a nothing act, or is that a Pasal Shechita act? That was my point that I introduced from the Rush. And as that fits in here, the question is, do we say that when you reach the majority of the way through, it has to be through Shechita, it has to be mostly a Shechita act, or do I just care about what you're doing at the moment that the Neshama leaves? Is that really my consideration? This here is now where the Rush introduces the point about whether it's a valid makom shechita act, whether it's a valid act when you do the hagrama, not a valid, whether it's part of shechita or not, and it relates to the upcoming piece. Yasiv Rabbi Abba Achorei Derav Kahana. We're towards the end of the thin lines on Yud Tesim, Mid Beis 19b. Yasiv Rabbi Abba Achorei Derav Kahana. V'Yasiv Rav Kahana Kamei Derav Yehuda. Okay, so you can picture the row. Rabbi Abba is sitting behind Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana is sitting in front of Rav Yehuda. V'Yasiv Uka Omar. And Rav Kahana asks the following question of Rav Yehuda, who is the Rebbe. Shachat shlish v'higrim shlish v'shachat shlish mahu. What if it was shechita, then hagrama, then shechita? So amalei shechita asok shera. He says that's kosher, right? Yes, so presumably because when you reach the midpoint, it was with a kosher shechita act, and I don't care about the other stuff that you did because that was outside the zone. That didn't matter. The higrim shlish v'shachat shlish v'higrim shlish mahu. What if the first third was hagrama and then he went into shechita? Amar leshechita subsili. He says that's no good. I don't care about what you're doing at the moment that a neshama goes. I care about the fact that at that point the majority of it has to be a shechita act, and this was not. Shachat b'makom nekev mahu. What if there's a hole in the trachea already. In other words, here's the trachea. Okay, the pencil is the trachea, and there already is, like the Chatzi Kara Pagum case, right? There already is a flaw in it, and you cut through the flaw first. So the point is that when you reach the midpoint, when you cross the midpoint, effectively shechting the animal, most of the cut was not your cut. Most of the cut was a pagam. Right, so you see the problem. Most of the cut at that stage was simply an existing flaw. On the other end, you're the one who crosses the midline. So that's what he wants to know. Shachav makom nekev mahu.
So, if I may ask,
yeah,
count that all as part of the shechita action?
For sure not. The hole is already there. The only question is, I moved my knife through the same part. So, Amar Leh, Shechita Sok Sheira. His answer is, that is considered to be a kosher Shechita. Shachat Upaga Bo Nekev Ma. What if you shecht and there's a hole on the other side, and you encounter that hole on the other side? Amar Leh, Shechita Sok Psula. He says, that is no good. So Azal Rabbi Abba, Amra Kamed Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Abba goes and reports this to Rabbi Elazar. Azal Rabbi Elazar, Amra Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar goes and reports this to Rabbi Yochanan. Right? So everyone is passing this along, this lesson that was learned in the Beis Medrash. They're spreading Torah. Can you imagine? Do you hear what the Rebbe said today? Amar Leh Maishna. He said to him, I don't understand. Why should these two cases be different from each other? The latter two cases of the Nekev, of the whole. Amar Leh, Shachat B'makom Nekev, Nasa Kemisha Shachat Ovek Kochavim V'Gomar Yisrael. He says, I assume that the reason why is because if you shecht on the site where the hole already existed, it's like if you had someone who wasn't Jewish who came along and cut the first part, and then a Jew came along and finished it. And that, we say, he's assuming is a kosher shechita. That's the idea. Shachat upaga bo nekev. However, if you shecht and you encounter an existing hole, nasa kamisha shachat yisra v'gomar ovik kochavim. Then it's as though a non-Jew finished the shechita act, and that's going to be possible. Got it? Kari alei, to which Rabbi Yochanan replies, ovik kochavim, ovik kochavim. What are you telling me about ovik kochavim for? What are you talking about? It's like his line on Yerchesim Ebeis, gisa gisa, for his brother-in-law, or because he's saying you're too coarsely lenient. So here he says, ovik kochavim, ovik kochavim. Enough with the ovik kochavim. I object to this ruling. Yeah. But he doesn't say why he objects.
Yeah.
He's objecting to the analogy, and therefore the ruling the analogy supports. So what's his objection? Amar Rava. Rava says, "Shapir kari alei ovikochavim ovikochavim." Rava says, "Yeah, he's right for objecting." Bishlama hasa midahavel eli yisrael mishchad ruba velo shachat kinafka cheves abiyadad ovikochavim kanafka. He says, "I get it in terms of the case in which the Jew was supposed to do the majority, but he didn't do the majority the." In other words, in the case where the Akum is the one who did the cut, then I understand why it would be possible.
The majority is the point of passing midway.
Right, so it's actually doing that which will end the life of the animal. Is really the key point. So over there, what I want is for the Yisrael to do that which will remove the life of the animal, and the Jew didn't do it. Right. Kinafka chevesa b'yadad ovikochavim kanafka. When the animal dies, it dies at the hand of the akum. Ela hacha, but here, michti mishchat shachit. Mali makum nekev, mali pagabo nekev. I don't care whether there was a hole on one side, there was a hole on the other side. In the akum case, the reason it's no good is because when you reach the midpoint, the majority of what happened was via the akum. That's why I'm bothered where the Akum finishes the Shechita.
The majority is in the hand of the Akum? Or the point of passing where the length goes is in the hand of the Akum?
That's an interesting point. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right, that's the way to take it. He said, right, the point is that at the point when life leaves, he is the one who's actually going to be doing the shechita in the case where the akum finishes off the shechita, whereas here you are the one who's doing the shechita. It doesn't matter whether there was a hole there first and then you cross the midpoint, or whether there was no hole but then if you only did it,
if you're doing the majority and the midpoint was already open,
yeah,
then it's the life is being taken by the Jew. if you do most of the first third, and then the Akum comes along and does the point which is at the midpoint, which causes the death of the animal.
Yeah.
The Akum comes.
Right, but what about the case in which you paga benekev? You do the first half.
But you're still doing the majority, so.
No, you're not, though. You're not doing the majority. If I do the first half, and then there's a hole in the second half.
No, but the most of the cuts, when you get to the midpoint, by the Jew.
When you get to the midpoint, but you didn't cross the midpoint. But you didn't cross the midpoint. The animal died because the past midpoint was already open. It's not about the midpoint. It's about the fact that when the animal dies, you have done the majority of the cut, but you haven't here. Because the second half was open.
In the other case of third shkita, third agrama, third shkita. When is the animal dead? Not when you completely finish it. It's when you do the first, the third shkita, and then you start going through the agrama. You don't have to complete the whole.
You know, let's read the Rashi because I don't think we're getting it right. If you see the end of the second line, end of the second wide line, Elahacha deshachad upaga benekev. Here, where he shechts and he encounters the hole, michdi mishchat shachit. He shechted kol hanim tzaba. He shechted everything there was to shecht. Utreifus bechatzi kana lohavi. And it's not called a treifa based on having the other half open. Vahavi la tchila kikana shlema. Vare shachu lefanenu. Mali makum nekev, etc. We treat it as though the kana was whole and now it is shechted. That's the way the Rashi explains it. Everything that was there to cut, he cut. And I treat it as though that half that was there to cut was the entire thing. That's the idea. This is like a Bila idea.
Adam.
Sorry?
Adam.
Yeah. But the way we're looking at it, you see what he's saying? He's saying that I pretend that this is whole because it's not called a treifa. And then the Jew did everything that there was to do. That's the way that he's looking at it. Because he didn't cut the majority. Okay.
But he took the life of the dam.
Right. Well, in the end he did, yeah. Okay.
At the end of the day,
all this is fine anyway, because Rechini ben Antignos wins the day. And therefore, we pass like Rechini ben Antignos, and therefore it's all fine because it's below the thyroid cartilage.
But that's not how Ramon passes.
Is that true?
He says any hagrama is straight.
Yeah, but you have to define hagrama. His version of hagrama is past the thyroid cartilage. Not all these cases are correct, but I don't even know if it's possible. Looking at the pictures of the neck of the animal, I don't understand how you could possibly veer out and veer back in past the thyroid cartilage. I've never shafted a cow, but it doesn't seem like you could veer out and in.
From easier to harder in that process.
I don't know.
Going to a thicker,
yeah.
Thinner.
Well, either way you are, but yeah. Okay, Mishnah. Hashochet minat stadin. This part is the harder to easier. Don't worry. The hashochet minat stadin shchitas akshera. There are three parts to the animal's neck, as far as we are concerned. There is the throat part of the neck, which is where you normally do shchita. There is the sides, the parts that aren't the throat, but aren't the back by the behind the spine. And then you have the back of the neck, the oref. Important to understand for this conversation is, as we'll see in the Gemara, that oref means the small space that is behind, so to speak, the face of the animal, whereas mul oref is the long space that's the back of the neck. Okay, so if you imagine that the pencil here is the neck of the animal and the animal's head is here, so this is the oref, and this is the mul oref. Can you see that on the audio? This is the oref, and this is the mul oref. Got it? That's the idea.
And what animals here?
Yes.
Birds?
Well, it'll be relevant for birds in terms of mul or po in the pasuk, and in terms of malika. But it's going to be relevant for animals when we talk about the makom shchita. So it'll have relevance for both. Well, that's a human neck, so. But just the back of the neck is mul or po, and the back of the head is or po. So hashochet minat stadin shchita sok shera. If you do shchita on the side of the neck, it's kosher. Hamolek minat stadin malika so psula. But malika on that spot would be no good. The sides are only good for shchita; they are not good for malika, because the Torah says mul or po for the for malika, and that's specifically the back. Hashochet mina orev shchita so psula. On the other end, if you shchita from the back, the shchita is no good. Hamolik, as Rashi notes, you're going to hit the mafrekas, you're going to hit the spine. You're not going to hit the tracheae in the esophagus. We'll have to talk about what if you move them around. Hamolik mina orev malika so kshera. If you do malika on the other end from the back, that's kosher. Hashochet mina tzavor shchita so kshera. If you shecht from the throat, that's a kosher shchita. Hamolik mina tzavor malika so psula. You do malika from the front, the malika is no good. Shekola oref kasher la malika v'chol atzavar kasher la shchita, because the entire oref is good for malika, the entire neck, throat, I should say, is good for shchita. Nimta kasher b'shchita, pasul b'malika, kasher b'malika, pasul b'shchita. In case you didn't get it until now, each spot is unique to either shchita or malika, kosher for one or for the other. Rashi believes that when we talk about stud in the sides, we use b'di'evet language only because later in the Mishnah we need b'di'evet language, but it's really even the chatchila. Tosus disagrees and says there's room to say that no, the side part is actually b'di'evet, and only if you move the trachea of the esophagus, you shift them to be on the side. So you cut them first. And it's b'di'evet kasher in case you don't actually end up moving the simanim. So Tosva says that the side case may be b'di'evet. Okay. My oref. The Gemara wants to know, what exactly is oref anyway? We already mentioned this in my intro to the Mishnah. My oref. Ilema oref mamash. If you mean literally the oref, then my ear yeshochet. Why do you say only shechting on the oref is possible? Shechting is behind, oref is behind the head. Afilu molek nami. You can't do malika behind the head. The good luck on any bird. Mimul arpo, amarachmana velo arpo. The Torah says mul oref, not oref. Ella my oref. So then what did we mean when we said oref? When we said in the Mishnah that you do malika on the oref, we meant mimul oref. That's what we meant. Kidik sani seifa, as the seifa says, kola oref kasher la malika. The entire oref is good for malika. We can't possibly have meant the oref. Clearly what we meant was mul oref. It didn't make any sense. As Rashi says, you wouldn't have bothered with the word kol, the entire, if you meant the oref on the back of the head. That's a very small spot if you're dealing with a bird, which you are because you're talking about malika. Minani mili. Well, how do you know anyway that mul arpo means the back of the neck? Detanu rabbanan is the brisa. Mimul arpo. The Torah says mimul arpo regarding malika. Mul haroa es haoref. Mul means the space nearby from which you can see the oref. It's near it, but it's not there. V'cheinu omer, and so too, v'hu yoshev mimuli. Last week's parasha, Balak says, I see the Jews. They are mimuli. Right? They are near me, but they're not right there.
But it doesn't mean they're opposite me. Or...
Yeah, but it means that they're not... It means they're nearby. It means they're nearby. They're not here. That's all we care about. They're not right here. The Omer, and also... we gotta go. The Omer, and the Pasuk says, Kipanu alai oref velo panim. They turned their oref to me, and not their face. The Pasuk in Yirmiyah indicates that the oref is the opposite of the face. So, Maiva Omer, why do I need this last Pasuk? Because v'chitema oref gufelo yad. If you'll tell me, well, I don't know where the oref is. You tell me mul oref is near the oref. What's the oref? Tashma kipanu alai oref below panim. The pasuk says they turn their oref to me, not their face. Michlal the oref lahade panim. Obviously, the oref must be the back of the. It's the opposite of the face. So that's the idea. Mul oref is where you can see the back of the face, and that means the back of the neck. Amri b'nei Rabbi Chia, Yehuda and Chizkia, the sons of Rabbi Chia, said, Mitzvahs malika machzis simanim la'achoy ha'oref u'molek. When you do malika, it isn't so simple, you just stick your thumbnail into the back of the bird's neck. You have to shift the trachea and the esophagus to the back, even though by birds you only do one simon. But you shift it to the back, and you do the malika there. Ika de Amri af machzir. Some say no. It's kosher if you do that, but that's not actually a requirement. The Ika de Amri machzir dafka. And some said no, this is how you have to do it. Umistabra command amr af machzir. And it's logical to say that it means it's kosher even if you do it, but not that that's a requirement. Mimai, how do you know that? Midiksani, because look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Ashochi min ha'orev shchita so psula hamolik min ha'orev malika so shera. We said shchita there is no good if you do it on the back. Malika is good. And if you meant specifically that you're machzir, that you put the trachea and the esophagus around the back, then my ear yamolek. Then why would it only be good for malika? Afilu shochinami, shechting there would also be good if you moved, as long as you would cut the trachea and the esophagus. I don't know how you actually do this without shifting them out of position, but shifting out of the flesh and violating potential ikur. So it must be saying, even if you move the trachea and the esophagus around, it's a kasher malika. And the mission that said it's possible if you do shchita there is talking about where you didn't move them around. And Rabbi Bill will pick up with that, God willing, tomorrow.